Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Sarah is an anchor at a local news station, KY3, and maybe many of you know her. Yeah, you can give a clap for KY3 and Sarah Forehats. That's okay. But I'll tell you, her story, her journey, and how what God has spoken to her heart about just inviting people to church and sharing her faith is a really cool story. And it's fun, you know, like part of just working here, you get to see all the praise cards that come in. And so many times, like, I'll see praise cards come in and it'll be like this awesome story about somebody sharing their faith. And then I'll read the bottom of the card and it's like, oh, it's Sarah Forehats again. You know, I was like, which is cool. That's a good thing. You know, you want that, you know? So I'm not annoyed. I'm like, oh, it's a Sarah Forehats card. But it's always like a great story and about how God's moving. But, you know, I'd like Sarah to come and she's just going to talk a little bit about her journey, what God's done in her heart. She shared recently at AG headquarters and did a fantastic job there. So would you give her a hand as she shares with us tonight?
Brandon is very kind. I will tell you that he is right. I fill out praise cards a lot, and that's because God is amazing. And lest we ever think it's about us, it's not. Because just when you think that person right there would be so interested if I would go over and pray for them. No, it's typically the person who you would never expect would have any interest in the things of the Lord. And then you're praying for divine appointments, you're praying for people just in your path, whoever God brings you across that day. And lo and behold, he is a God who answers prayer. And something happens miraculously in a moment. And I just want you to know that that was my story. My mom had me in church when I was a kid, but I was a rebel without a cause until the day I was saved. She can halfway attest to my rebellion, but a lot of it I tried to like keep from her because, you know, she's a sweet lady. I'm like, I just don't want to hurt her. But, you know, Brandon, I'm a reporter. So hopefully you know that, right? Because you're keeping my lights on if you know that already. But if you don't, I'm a reporter, which means there is a bulldog inside of me, and sometimes it does come out. But you know what? Whenever you're a rebel with a cause, it's so much more fun because then you feel like you have purpose and that God is working and he's moving in hearts and lives around you. So yeah, I'm honored to speak tonight. Brandon mentioned I spoke yesterday at AG headquarters. And really, I had everything planned out that I was going to say to them a couple months ago, and God woke me up at 4:10 a.m. a few weeks before that appointment, and I just started typing on the computer. Typically, I'm kind of old school. I'm actually the only reporter in our building who still uses like pen and paper. Everyone else likes to type. I get it, but if I see it on a page and I wrote it down, like I can recall it. So I just started typing for the first time, 6 pages of what I felt like was, you know, God's heart for the body of Christ, and that is us. So I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about personal evangelism and co-laboring in Christ. And it almost seems like an oxymoron, like if it's personal, do we have a co-laborer? And the answer is yes. Not only is God with us and he is our co-laborer, but we are someone else's co-laborer too. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 4, starting in verse 35. John chapter 4, starting in verse 35. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get together the harvest. I have read that passage so many times, but I tell you, the Lord has just really brought it to life to me in a whole new dimension whenever I started delving into that and just praying over that and praying, God, what would you want me to speak through that passage to the body? And I was like, God, give me some illustrations. I need illustrations. And I tell you, one after the next, after the next, after the next illustration became about co-laborers in Christ. About 3 months ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Africa with Convoy of Hope. We went to Tanzania, incredible place. And the lady who asked me to go, I did not know her at the time. And she said, hey, let's get together for coffee. And at first I was like, I don't do coffee. If you have a story, I can tell you over the phone whether it's going to be something I cover or not. And she was like, oh, no, this isn't for story coverage. I just wanted to chat with you. And I was like, oh, all right, we can do that. So we went to coffee, and I talked with her, and she was like, hey, I want you to go to Africa. And I was like, Africa? That would be amazing. But I got 3 kids under the age of 7 and no money. So what are you going to do? I didn't actually say that, but that's what was rolling through my head, because I didn't know her well enough to say that. But I told her, I said, you know, what an opportunity and an honor. I said, and honestly, I would love to go to Africa, and I know that you're a very godly woman, but I will know that God has spoken if the logistics of this trip work out. Because anyone who has really young kids understands that grandma can only keep them for about, you know, 3 hours max before the wheels fall off. So I went home and prayed about it, talked to my husband, and my husband, Ethan, many of you know him, he said, well, absolutely, babe. Sounds like God's opened a door. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, do you realize that you're going to have to get a Superman cape if this happens? Like, if I leave you for 11 days, nothing short of Superman can do the trick. Because you have to bathe them while I'm gone. Like, that's a requirement, especially the littlest one, the boy. But he was on board, and honestly, praise be to God, I married a godly man who was raised in a godly home, and I know he hears from the Lord. So when he said go, before he had too much time to think about it, I just started packing. So, but, you know, truth be told, I don't have a lot to offer on the mission field, seemingly. I'm like, okay, I don't do construction really well. I mean, I'm a hard worker, but, like, I don't know how to build stuff. I don't pull teeth. I don't give shots. You do not want me on your medical mission team, that is for sure. Thank you, doctors out there who do go. But I was like, God, just speak through me. Give me a word for these girls. You know, give me a word for these women that we're going to be encountering. Give me something to say to them that would have lasting impact in their life. God, use me as your vessel to speak to them a truth that is undeniable, that long after we're gone and long after the money that we could bring or the supplies we could bring runs out, let them have your word so deep within them that the endless and glorious riches available only in Christ Jesus still remain, because Christ is enough. He's enough. So where we lack, he's enough. Whether it is in Louisiana or in Milwaukee or in California, all kinds of disasters around us, our resource is mission critical. But the word of the Lord, if we can send workers into the field and laborers into the field, they will have enough. They will have all they need. So lest any of us get fixated on the destination like I did, I'm like, okay, I'm going to Africa, God. Give me a word for Africa. Give me help for Africa, you know? We might miss the journey. So let me encourage you tonight that we have a journey to tend to. Anyone who's a believer is a missionary. Just because you're not vocationally a pastor does not mean that you don't have a mission field. In fact, your mission field is set up for you, which is the beauty of evangelism. The beautiful thing is that there are people all around you. Even if you work in a church building, there are people all around you who need to know the love of Jesus Christ. And even if they are a Christian, they need to be encouraged in Christ, because they need to have their cup filled up so that they can pour it on to others who don't believe. So we all have a mission field, and as I'm flying over, I'm sitting on the plane next to this man, and we just start talking, and strangely, the conversation actually started with politics, and I love to talk politics, but I can't do that because I'm a news reporter. But there was like this beautiful thing that I was like, wait a second, I'm in Africa, I can talk politics. Like, I don't know any of these people, in fact, like I didn't really know anyone I was traveling with, so I was like glad to enter into politics. So it turned from that to science, and I'm like, awesome, okay, this is where I'm gonna check out. But I found out that he's a scientist. He works at Penn State University, and he found out I was a news reporter, and he was like, oh, well, I was in the news lately. I said, oh, try me. What was it? Let's see if we covered it. And he was like, well, I actually cracked the, and pardon me if you're a science person, because I'm going to say this wrong, but he was like, I cracked the genetic code, for lack of a better term, on why the giraffe's neck is so long. And I was like, that is fantastic. That is fantastic news. So just when you were thinking that it was just so that they would eat off the top of the tree so it wouldn't get top heavy and fall over, because that's what I've always just assumed. I don't know. It seems like a safe assumption to me. There's actually, in his mind, a totally different reason as to why the giraffe's neck is so long. So we talked about that for quite a while, and at some point I'm like, Lord, I can't continue in this conversation even like halfway intelligently. So I realized he was talking about evolution, and he had written some books and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. You're like a brain child. And, you know, he's from America. So I said, so are you Christian? And he's, oh, yeah, I'm Christian. I was like, awesome, me too. In fact, I'm actually on my way to a mission trip right now. And he was like, oh, okay. And so I was interested in his Christianity, of course, because any good reporter likes to ask a lot of questions. So I said, tell me about your faith. That's really interesting that you're a scientist, you write books on evolution, and you're a Christian. And he said, well, my mom was a really strong Christian. I remember she used to pray for, she even said fast. She used to fast for me, pray for my salvation. And so I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a Christian. And I was like, amazing, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about your faith, you know? And the conversation was kind of starting to turn. And he was an older gentleman, so I assumed correctly that his mom had passed away, and it was clear to me that he was very close to her. And I said, so where do you think your mom is? And he said, well, she's in heaven. And I said, I believe she's in heaven too. I said, it's just interesting because with no God, there's no heaven. So do you believe that she's with him? And I was trying not to be too abrasive because sometimes I am. Surprising, isn't it? But about that time, just tears just welled in his eyes. And I said, I just want you to know that God put a little uneducated, compared to you, little reporter on this plane to tell you that everything your mom taught you is absolutely true. And even though she has passed away, she's waiting for you right now in heaven. And you have the chance to see her again. Like, that's the beauty of this end of this story. I know the end. And you can see her again. It's a matter of putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And he was like, I couldn't do that. I'm a scientist. Like, you know, he's a grown man. I mean, he's got to be like mid-60s. And I'm like, man, to live 65 years as a scientific genius, you're writing textbooks for our college kids, you know, that my kid could someday go to. And I'm like, what an incredible witness and opportunity you would have to change your world that you live in. I mean, those minds are brilliant minds, you know? Can you imagine if they got on fire for God? So I began to tell him essentially the salvation message, and I, in fact, remembered one of Pastor John's sermons called Jesus Goes Out of His Way. I didn't remember a thing about the sermon, but I remembered that Jesus goes out of his way. And I remembered that it was like this long trip around. And I had just looked at my app, my James River Church app, and I was going to listen to that sermon. And I said, you know what? Jesus goes out of his way. And I'm going to Africa right now. But I said, you're becoming like this illustration that I've been praying for. Because lest I got fixated on what was going to happen in Africa, I would have missed this journey to be here beside you. And he's still just crying. And our plane ride is coming to an end. And I said, do you mind if I pray with you? And he said, no. I don't want to pray with you. And I said, okay, I am scary. I said, but do me a favor. I said, for the next 3 months while you're here in Tanzania, I want you to pray that God will reveal himself to you in science, in nature, in that giraffe's neck, everything that you're studying. Pray that God will reveal himself to you. And he said, okay. I said, promise me you'll do it. Because if you don't do it, I'm going to pray with you right now. And so he promised me he would. And I hope that he did. I don't know if he did. I mean, my faith tells me that he did, you know, and that other people will come alongside him. But I want you to know that I was his mom's co-laborer that day. And that's an amazing thought. It's an amazing thought that she's in heaven and her prayers are not in vain. Her prayers are still being answered from the most unlikely of places, the most unlikely of people to sit beside her son on a plane. And I want to know and ask of you, is there someone in your life who you just feel is too far gone? Is the Lord's arm too short to save? I love that verse because it's, I just read it with such passion. And the answer is no. No one is too far gone. And sometimes we can look at a person and think, oh, why won't they just turn around? Why won't they just choose him? They're so far gone. And when it's your child or your spouse or your coworker or your best friend that you grew up with and you see just the destruction and the pain, I just want you to be encouraged that it's not on you. God is sending co-laborers. He is sending people alongside them. As you pray, especially as we're fasting, as you pray, God is sending co-laborers to your loved ones tonight, down in Louisiana, in Milwaukee, in California, in every natural disaster. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is sending co-laborers when we pray for it? And another reality of the situation is you and I are called to be co-laborers. There are some grandmas out there, some of them gone to heaven already, and they prayed for their son, and they prayed for their daughter, and they stood in the gap for their in-laws. And you know what? We are co-laborers in Christ. We are co-laborers, and I hope that we can all, just as the body of Christ as a whole, this church and every other one, get a revelation that we have the answer. We have the key. People are lost and dying and desperate, and there is something within us that has the power to raise Christ from the dead. And it's just amazing to me that he would use us and partner with us to make us co-laborers, to go speak to people who are lost and hurting and dying. And you know what? God himself is with us. God himself is in us. And it has nothing to do with personality. Yes, I'm a bulldog. Yes, I'm a reporter. But you know what? I think of my college roommate. She's the shyest person on planet Earth. She saw zero fruit in me in college, no interest in Christ at all in college. And I talked to her not too long ago, and she said, yeah, Sarah, and this breaks my heart, by the way, but she said you were an apple tree, but I never once saw an apple. And you know, the purpose of my phone call to her was to say, Hillary, I know that you didn't see any interest in me at all in the things of the Lord, but your influence in my life radically changed my life, and I've never forgotten it, and I just wanted to thank you for it. And she said, amen, because we have co-laborers in Christ. And I thought, you know what? That has been on my heart, and the fact that you would say that just blows my mind. But we have co-laborers in Christ. And we're called to be co-laborers. Again, verse 37, you know the saying, one plants and another harvest, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you get to gather the harvest. That is such a beautiful thought. And one quick story before we go. My niece, Chloe, she just moved up here. So if you've met her, you know her because she's precious. But she went to Oklahoma State University. That's where I was also in college. You guys know, if you've been to a secular campus, it's so secular, you know? And she had lived up in Springfield. She went into foster care. She came up here for a year of her life. And during that year's time, my family, who was already here, just prayed for her, invested in her. We took her to church every single time the doors were open. But you know what? When she moved back home and then eventually off to college, I'm like, God, I've lost my influence. I've lost my voice in her life. She no longer thinks I'm cool because now I'm an adult. And I used to be cool to her. And I just feel like I've lost my influence and I've lost any kind of, you know, hope for her salvation. She was just, you know, a wild child, just like I was, by the way. And I was just praying for co-laborers. I read this passage one morning and I'm like, God, It's not up to me, it's up to you. She's your child, she's not my child. You love her more than I love her. I know that if I ask anything in your name, you will do it. And I pray, oh God, that you would send co-laborers, workers into the field who love her, who will encourage her, who will minister to her. And I will never forget the day she called me. She said, Sarah, guess what? I have something to tell you. I said, what's that? Some random girl on campus today named Kim came up to me and asked me to go to lunch. I said, did she pay for it? She said, yeah, she was taking me to Chipotle, and of course, any smart college kid goes for free lunch. So they were eating lunch together, and she was just talking to Chloe and just very boldly said, what would happen if you gave your life to the Lord? And Chloe said she just started crying and said, you know what, my aunts told me that I needed to do that, and I think I'm going to do that. And she placed, she's 19 years old at the time, 18 years old at the time, far from the Lord. You would not have known that she had any interest. But you know what? I didn't know that she had any interest, but I believe that God was sending co-laborers on her behalf to answer the fervent prayer of a righteous person who believes for salvation. And I want you to know that she moved up here shortly thereafter, back to the House of Bread, if you remember the Ruth series. She's plugged into this church, and she loves the Lord with all of her heart. And I'm just, it's just, God has got your loved one. I'm going to close with 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You know, a couple years ago at the women's conference, you heard, I think it was Charlotte Gamble said, own your zone. You know what? Your zone is set up for you. Your coworkers, the person at Walmart, the coach of your son's soccer team. There are lost and hurting people all around us. And sometimes we miss that. We miss sight of that. We pray for the people in Africa, or we pray for, you know, God, when I preach next Sunday, will you please help me to do a good job and minister to those people who are there? No, they're with you. They're with you right now. They're at the Walmart checker. How many times have I gotten annoyed and then been like, you know what? She's having a rough day. I should pray for her. And it's planting a seed that says, I believe that this God who I know is bigger, and he's able, and he cares for you. And that 2 Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in and out of season. Honestly, you never know. You never know whenever you need to be prepared. So may we live in a place with the belt of truth buckled around us so tightly that we're ready to share at the drop of a hat. Because God himself is with us. He is our co-laborer, just like we are each other's co-laborers, and our loved ones who we don't get to see or talk to right now, God is sending co-laborers on their behalf. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for letting me share. Amen.